Father, we pray that you guide and direct us as we see what is going on in this world and as we see what is going on with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for the pastors as well. And we pray for what is going on in our life and what is to come, which we don't know. There are so many possibilities. So we keep looking at the issues that are in front of us, and we keep praying for the people that have problems or that are hurting. Oh, Lord, there's so many people to pray for, so many people who are unsaved. And yes, Lord, we pray for so many people in Jesus' name, and amen. And that just reminds me of John 15:14, where it says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Look for yourself, John 15:14, but it's clear to me that God's basic commandment is love. You know, to love God and to love your neighbor, just like Matthew says, and then we are commanded to love, and it's not the same as living under the law, which was in the Old Testament, really something. Well, I am very grateful for God and the love that He has for all of us, and that we do not have to live under the law. And that is because Jesus died as a sacrifice for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. And let us accept His gift. Yes. Say yes, Lord, and thank you. As we live our life in obedience to Jesus, and as we give our life to Jesus as a form of giving thanks for what He has done for us. Yes, Jesus' gift is free. It is for all who accept it. And our way of showing our thanks is to follow Jesus. And that really means living a life without sin. And we choose to have life without sin. Oh, yes, that's what we do. Well, it's better to choose that life than have a life where we want to do whatever we want to do and do it. Yes, that obedience to God is reflecting the love of God for us and for others. And that is what we do and want to do. Yes, here we are this month, and we have many things going on in these days. And yes, Jesus Christ rising from the dead is another thing that we celebrate with the celebration of, Passover in the Hebrew tradition. And so we say, yes, Lord, and thank you for this Passover tradition written about in Exodus 12:18. It's also in Leviticus 23. So Passover is one of the seven feasts in the Hebrew tradition. And it is a very important feast day. It is a day of remembrance of what God did. God's angel of death passed over the households which had put the blood of the lamb around the door into the house, doorposts and lintel. And so that was a way of showing obedience to God and his will, and then God's Passover angel went past those houses with the blood on the doorway, and then went and did what the angel did. Well, it is a foreshadowing of how the blood of Jesus Christ would save us from eternal death. Now, in Egypt, the Passover, the blood on the doorway, had the angel pass over the households that had the blood of the lamb on the doors, the doorpost and lintels. So we can see that this is a pattern of God saving us from death. And we have another picture of that with the blood of Jesus saving us from death. And it is just wonderful, wonderful how God repeats the patterns so that we can see it. It becomes obvious to us as we see those patterns. The patterns, yes, in Judaism, and yes, in Christianity, and yes, in the Bible. The patterns are obvious, and I hope everyone who wants to search for the truth finds the truth that God has put before us. Even the patterns in nature, they prove that there is a God. And that's Romans 1:18. It talks about this and how that some people can't even look, but when you look for the patterns, it is obvious that there is a God. So people are just like that. Some people will look, and some people will refuse to look. I think of how there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. So we have salvation, we have heaven, or we have hell. That is our choice. We have something to say about it. And then we go to Romans 1:18, 18 to 30-something, 32. And it tells us about the patterns to prove that there is our God, that he does exist. He exists in nature. He exists in mankind. And the patterns are there for us to see. But as I just said, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. We can tell people about God, but do they believe? Well, they see the patterns. It is a great big question, and all we can do is what we can do. We can pray for the Holy Spirit to move in the people's life that we are talking to. It's always good to pray, even if it's the shortest little prayer that we can think of. God, help us to reach this person. Lord, give me the words to be faithful to you as I speak. See, that is just a little prayer. It doesn't take a big, long prayer, but it does take acknowledging God in what you are doing. So we have We have that that can go on all day, every day, as we go through life. We just acknowledge God and we say a little prayer. I think that's what we do for all situations, not just talking to people about Jesus or the Bible. No, we do that when we have something happen right in front of us. Oh, it could be with cars. It could be with people. It could be with a social situation or a complex situation. Lord, guide me in Jesus' name and amen. And so many times, God will help you to have the words, to have the situation turn out in a way that is turns out to be the best way it could have gone. It's just for us to have that relation with God Jesus so that we can speak to him in prayer, yes. And as the things that are concerning us, yes, we speak to God Jesus. That's what we do. And it doesn't have to be for the hard times, for the things that are coming up that we believe are going to be quite difficult. But it might be. It might be for a certain time of tribulation, which in this case means difficulty, not the great tribulation. Who knows what it will be? The thing is God wants a relationship with you, and you want a relationship with God, of course. And so we get that when we pray. There are times that are coming that are going to be quite difficult. Yes, it's a tribulation. And then after that, it'll be the great tribulation, which presumably we won't be here for. But there are people who will, and we pray for them and their salvation as we reach out to God I'll call it an effort, because it's our desire to save other people from hell. And so we talk to them about Scripture, the Bible, and the hope of the good news that is in Jesus Christ. The Bible does tell us about the great tribulation that is going to be coming, and I think everybody wants to avoid it. I really do think that. And so it's something we want to avoid because we have read about how seriously bad the great tribulation is going to be. And you know what? We don't have to go through it. People don't have to go through it. They just have to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So that's something that we learn about when we study and read the Bible. Yes, so we can talk about that with people, or we can just have it in our knowledge and our spirit that we want to be saved. We are saved because we have Jesus in our heart and our brain, and we live according to what his commandments are. Well, I am very glad that we have reached the number of people that we have reached in life. I don't know who you've reached or who I have reached. All I know is we continue to reach out to people to tell them the good news about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, about how we can be saved from hell. Yes, or how we can have the eternal joy, the eternal hope of living in that heavenly place with Jesus and the Christians that are saved. So we do something about it in life. We always do. We do what we can, and we never know quite what that will be. There are so many people who give out Bibles, and that's a part of what they consider their ministry. It's a way of reaching people to have free Bibles or to have a Bible study. I surely do like the King James Version. Oh, if I'm reading it in public, though, I like the New King James. Oh, there's other versions, too, but I just think that it is more, the words are more precise, and so I like the King James Version for my own reading. But I've heard of people being saved by all sorts of things, even a witness that of somebody who is a Christ follower. And that has happened in other countries. That has happened in our own neighborhood, your neighborhood. It's happened in prisons. It has happened in very difficult situations. So we pray for the salvation of others in whatever way that it will be. And right now, with the traditions that are going on with Passover, we have a time to recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we just might want to talk to people about that. There will be opportunity. Yes, we can call it Easter if we want to, because that's what some will call it, but perhaps it is not the most accurate, and we ought to know the difference between Easter and Passover. Oh, traditions, traditions. Well, we know we want Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and so that is one thing we can always talk about. I think of that time that we read about in the Bible about Passover and how there were 10 plagues of Egypt. This is a question of if that will repeat again. And certainly it might. It very well could repeat, that the 10 plagues of Egypt will repeat at some time in our future. It might be soon, it might be a little longer, but there is a repeating pattern as we read the Bible. We recognize it. So what were those 10 plagues of Egypt? They were blood, frogs, lice, wild beasts, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the slain of the firstborn. So these were the things that happened to Egypt. Every one of them happened. And it's good to read the Bible to recognize how they affected people living in the day. Yes, and there's that movie, I forgot what one it is, but it's with Charlton Heston. And that really gives you a visual for what it was like, kind of. But if you don't have anything else, you can at least have an image from that movie. Oof. And if you don't have that, it's certainly better to read the Bible and just get the idea of what the images were from the source, the Bible. That's where it all came from. Well, those 10 plagues were certainly awful. They were very difficult. And yet, no matter how bad they were, we all can know that hell is a far worse place. So, why do we have the plagues? Why do you think that they might happen again? And what might happen in the tribulation, the great tribulation? It is so evident that there will be punishment and great difficulty in the great tribulation. And you know, we all want to avoid that. Every one of us, we want to avoid the tough things. And so we have a belief system that we believe in, like the pre-tribulation rapture. We so many people believe in that because they don't want to go through any difficulty whatsoever. Oh, that is something there is a great question about. Will we go through the tribulation? Well, the ancients thought we all would go through the tribulation, and here we are trying to figure out if we will or if we will not. And I was listening to Joel Richardson just a couple of days ago, and he has some really good discussion, or call it an argument, to say that we will go through the tribulation, not the great tribulation. So he says about the rapture, though, that that's not what we think it is. Oh, it's another conversation to go through that. I think I will just leave it up to you if you want to look into Joel Richardson, who has a really good discussion about it. But I think only some people are interested in that. Well, let us remember that with all the things going on, of course we have questions. And there are legitimate questions. And for whatever we are going through or will have to go through in the future, we want to thank God for all the good things that we have, including our faith in Jesus, including our salvation through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And we ask you to direct our life so that we can be of good service to you, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, you know that we're going to have an interesting future that we can only guess at all the things that are going to go on. But you know, and you have put us here on earth for a time such as this. And so, Lord, we ask you to watch over us and guide us in your will. And that is, of course, in Jesus' name and amen. As we praise God, oh yes, amen and amen. Well, we have knowledge that will allow us to go through all sorts of trials and difficulties in life and to keep a good and positive attitude. Just because we're alive here and now does not mean that we won't have some difficulties. You know, they had difficulties 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,500, 2,000 years ago. Difficulties just seem to be as natural to life as life itself. So we get to understand it and put things into an order where we can be faithful to God, Jesus Christ, and that we can speak the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, to our neighbors, to people we run into. We all have a witness, and we can all tell about the good things that have happened to us through our faith and with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Well, if you don't know how to do it, you can have practice. I remember I practiced. I couldn't figure out which gospel was it. Well, it was to preach the good news of the gospel to every creature. And I remember lots of years ago now, but remember thinking, what do you mean, every creature? And so I read it, and I saw that there was a squirrel outside one day. Oh, how embarrassing, kind of. I started preaching the good news of the gospel to the squirrel. And you know what happened about that? Is I got practice at preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it just made me think, maybe that's what it's all about. Practice preaching the good news of the gospel. I just wonder. Well, my point is God will work in your life just like he has worked in mine. And God is awesome. God is powerful. God is fantastically terrific. Thank you, Jesus. So, just keep praying and do what you can to be faithful, to belonging to God, Jesus. And let him comfort you. Let him comfort our Christian family. And also remember to pray for so many people in our Christian family. There's so many people that need prayer. Some of it is immediate, and some of it is long-term, and we have many prayers that we can give for our close family, and our distant family, too. We have a lot of prayer that we can be doing, and really should be doing. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have life to go through, and to experience, and to have all the adventures that we have. We have a desire to see the world around us. I know I certainly did. And in the first part of my life, my younger days, I certainly did go to many places and have a great joy in seeing this world. And yes, it didn't matter if it was driving to another city in California or a neighboring state, across the states, or in another country. I certainly have done a bunch of travel, and it has been very nice. But we can have all the basics of life just by knowing Jesus. We don't have to travel. We don't have to have experiences of, any strange experiences. So there's just things that we can learn by our holy experiences, and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, and give us what we need by the experiences that can be provided through the Holy Spirit. Yes, big experiences, they certainly can be. I look at the past history of people who have lived and who have died, and all these things have caused me to want to preserve life and to alleviate suffering, because, I've seen a bunch of suffering in the world. It's been really difficult sometimes to see the hardship that people have, and yet they want to keep living through their hardships and pain. I've seen that. We see family and friends sometimes. Sometimes we see strangers. And there just is a lot of difficulty that goes on. It's so very, it's interesting to me to see how different the world is and the people are in different places. As I've traveled here and there in different places of the world, I've seen people. I've seen missionaries. I've seen people wanting to travel and then traveling and going to reach other families, Christian families or people who need Christ. Our missionaries are doing an incredible job around the world, and I hope you remember them in prayer. There's so many that don't have a name that we can give them, but we know that they are in all sorts of countries of the world, and they settle into the culture of the country they come to live in. And so we can just say a little prayer. They're all over the world. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the pastors. Pray for the people who are even locally spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know this goes on with people's feelings. And sometimes people get hurt. Their feelings hurt. And so there are just so many things to pray for, that God will give them what they need, including the free will that God has given them to live among a people that do not yet know Christ. So we pray for the people who will come to know God Jesus and live forever in heaven. And that includes the missionaries. We pray for people. We want the best for them, and we pray. Well, some of these things can show themselves to be hard truth. Sometimes we can see people living without Jesus, and we can see it is quite difficult. And our prayers make a difference in the salvation of many people. So I encourage you to pray for the people we know and the people we don't know, the missionaries we know, the missionaries we don't know. And pastors, they are all over the world. They need prayer too. Please pray for the many people who they really do need prayer. And we pray for love and salvation of Christ Jesus to go around the world through his people. And that includes you and me. There's a lot of prayer needs right in front of us. And we can see the people right around us. Some will choose God, and some will choose not know God. And then without God, there is an eternity. Really, it's in hell. And so we feel for those people, and we pray for them. Who wants our relatives to go to hell? Nobody. And when we realize what hell is, we don't even want our enemies to go to hell, because it's so awful, so bad. And you can learn about heaven and hell by hearing the testimonies of people who have talked about being allowed to get to the edge of heaven or hell. And they have had experiences which they will share with the listener. And so listen. Listen to their testimony. Have your own testimony and speak about it to people who need to know about Jesus. And don't just leave it all up to your pastor. It's on us. It is our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And now, at this time of Passover, let us also be ready to talk about the blood on the doorposts and lintels in ancient Egypt, and how we can have the blood of Jesus Christ on the, well, I would say the doorposts of our heart. And you can figure out a way to say that, to say it to somebody, and at that Passover time of year, this time of year, it is something we can speak about, just even a little bit. Every little bit makes a difference, and you can get somebody to think about Jesus Christ. You just think about it and say, yes, Lord, I will do it if you give me the opportunity. So, be prepared for the opportunity and say, yes, Lord. I think about also the crossing on the Red Sea and how the whole, how many million was it? I'd have to recall that one. But it was people who were in Egypt and the millions of Hebrews who crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. That is just amazing and astounding. It's a miracle of God, and that is a part of Passover. Yes, Passover in ancient Egypt and passing over the Red Sea on dry land. The miracles in the Bible are just plain awesome. And we get to experience them as we read, as we get to know the Bible. It's a good thing. And we can tell these stories to people who want to hear them. We can talk about David and Goliath or Samson or Esther or Joseph storing up grain. And there are amazing biblical and historical truths. We have to search them out and be knowledgeable, just a little bit even, and tell the story. It's a true story, and you can read these things. No, there's a book that I think I would recommend. It's called The Signature of God by Grant Jeffrey. It is a very good book about how the Exodus happened and the proof of Exodus that was, for instance, carved on a rock in the writing of the day. So if you want a little evidence, get that book, The Signature of God by Grant Jeffrey. Oh, wow, it must be 20 years old by now. So maybe it is available at a used bookstore. But it has a great illustration of historical fact about the Exodus and other things about the Hebrew traditions. So I would just say it's a great book. Get it if you can find it. There are signs today of many of God's miracles going on in many parts of the world. God speaking to believers, some of them in jail. Some of them were not believers until God spoke to them. They're miracles. And so we ask for miracles to continue so that people can live eternally in heaven and not hell. That's a big thing, to be of service to God in this life. All these things we seek to know, to understand, and to do. As we reflect on, that means to think about, all the subjects that are in front of us, whether it is the Exodus, Passover, whether it is anything in our own life. There are plenty of miracles that we can see and talk about. So God grant us the understanding and the ability to talk to other people so that we can have people working together and not have there be division. Division, there's so much division going on in our country right now. We need a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. So there are things going on with people who believe or don't believe or believe in something else when we don't. It is just causing division, and it makes me think of divide and conquer. That has been a well-known, phrase ever since the time of Rome or Greece, divide and conquer. Or before that, divide and conquer. It can be between people who support government or don't. It can be between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. It can be all sorts of things. But we can see the troubles, and we want to be able to bring people together in Jesus Christ. And as we are together, we want to be careful not to judge others. Well, I think of judgment not in terms of judging if what they're doing, for instance, but judging in terms of are they saved or unsaved. That's God's arena, not ours. So there's lots of information that we can seek out, and there's lots of experimental things going on too. Oh yeah, and I think of that COVID thing with the experimental vaccination that was required, or people were going to lose their jobs. See, that's another thing that's dividing our country. But we all make decisions, and every life decision has a consequence. But we hope that the consequences do not overwhelm us. So we still decide on what is going to work the best for us and not work for us. The COVID thing was something that really has divided our country, and there are people who want to say that it's good, it still is good, and there's people who want to say, no, I never will and never would get that vaccination. It is that mRNA, and some people are dying. The evidence is from the vaccination. Want proof? I don't know that we can have proof, but there's a lot of indicators. And we better just kind of figure out where we stand in the whole thing. Use caution, trust God, and pray for understanding and wisdom. Well, we certainly have our families that we love, and we have other people that we want to love too. Even the people who are not really lovable, we want to show them love. That is a human kind of love that is expressed through our godly understanding. It's God's love, how God loves the people. And we get to not get mixed up with the human part of love, just to reflect God's love as we go about making decisions and living our life. A lot of times there's people who have problems with everything you can think of. And we just want to not engage them in their trouble and instead engage them in something that is a godly righteousness. I think that is what we try to do as we go about life and love, godly love. So remember that there's so many things, and I'm thinking about that COVID vaccination again. Well, there are issues going on with it, and there have been sudden deaths that a lot of people are just saying the only explanation is the COVID vaccine. Well, we have to know that people are going to die. In fact, every one of us is going to die. And so we love people, and we want the best for them, and we want them to be set for an eternal life with God Jesus. And that's something we can talk about without bringing a complication into it. Well, maybe you need to bring the complication, but maybe not. You will be able to say a little prayer and then act appropriately in a godly way. It is about love, and we want to share God's love with people. That's what we're doing. Not our love, not human love. It is God's love that we are sharing with the world, and we want to do that the best we can. I think of John 13:33, and Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you." That's pretty big. Now, how did Jesus love us? Well, he gave his life for us. Now, what do you think that means, to love one another as I have loved you? I think it means that we have a way of giving our life to benefit another person. Well, everybody will know how to do that a little bit differently. And I don't mean to tell you that it's one way or another. And I don't mean to say that it is by giving our life for another person in a real obvious way. Now, it might be. It might be. But it's just all a little bit different. So, read the Bible and be sure of your decisions. Be sure of your life. Be sure to remember to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And pray. Oh God, yes, pray for God to live in your life and to be prepared for the next life, which is our eternal life. That might be hard for you to understand. It might be hard for some people to understand, but it certainly is true when you look at what is coming in life. Well, a lot of certainty is coming in life. Some things are going to be hard, some things are going to be easy, and that's a part of life. We all get to figure it out as we stay faithful to God, Jesus. Well, there's hard things for everybody, hard things. I know last year after my car accident, the hospital said I needed blood. I wouldn't agree to the blood because I didn't want to get somebody else's blood. So I knew I might die, but it was a decision that I had really pretty much already decided. I just didn't know it was going to come to my attention right then in the hospital, but there it was. See, we go through life and we make decisions in advance, and a part of those decisions are to love other people. Now, how we do that, it's going to be different in many different ways. But if we've already made the decision to love another person that we don't know, that decision to love has already been made. Now, that's why I brought up the blood thing in the hospital, is because I had already made the decision before I was faced with them wanting to add blood to me. So, you get to figure out what things are in your life that you have already decided about. And a part of that is living for God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. It's all these things that we get to figure out and understand what it is that we are going to do or not do. It's all about God, Jesus. So how are we going to figure it out? Well, there's a lot of things that are in front of us, a lot of things that are going to confront us, and we get to figure out how we are going to handle it. Now, we do know there's going to be people that are going to live, and there are people that are going to die. And somehow, our message of the good news of the Bible, that we are going to live and not die, is a part of the good news of the Bible. Now, there's many reasons that a person might feel that death is close to them. And in a way, death is not far for any of us. So we have to just recognize that death is closer than we expect. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about our death? And that means have our relationship with God, Jesus. That's what we're going to do. We are more near to death and more near to war than we realize. Now, yes, there's a spiritual war, but look around. We not only have a spiritual war, we have a physical, kinetic war that is going on in our neighborhood. Now, perhaps you know that there are nations that want war. They want their troops to take over another country. Well, that's a part of life on this earth, and we get to be faced with it as we see the documents come up that say, oh, look out, there is conflict coming. Well, you can see that there's all sorts of things that could come along, and we get to figure out how we're going to live through the events and be faithful to God Jesus. And also to know that we are all going to die at some point. And we want to be ready for death, yes, physically, yes, spiritually especially, and even legally. And how do we prepare for that spiritual part? Well, we make Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. That is pretty clear. It's completely clear. So how are we doing at that? Are we making Jesus Christ our Lord? Lord and Savior. Have you decided on that? Are you sure that you are ready for heaven when you die? Are you sure that you can obey Jesus? You see, that's what it's about. Is our life dedicated to Jesus, just like the thief on the cross? He didn't have long to live, but Jesus said, on this day you will be with me in paradise. So it can be a pretty simple thing. But I don't know. You just have to make sure that your relation is right with God Jesus. It's not for me to say or me to know, because there's a lot I don't understand. But I want you to have that relationship with God, Jesus, and I want you to have eternal life in heaven and not hell. So, if you need to search some of that truth out, go ahead. It's right there in your Bible. Read the Bible. It's a good thing. The New Testament is not very long, or any of the books. Start with any one of them. They are short and easy to read. Well, unless you start thinking about it a lot, but I do, and it's a good thing to think about. I certainly like many of those books. It's just amazing. So I encourage you to read the Bible and then commit your life to Jesus. Yes, do that now, while you are able. See, one of the funny things with my accident last year, car accident, is I got to see how fast things happened and how distracted we can be. Well, sure, with the accident, I was distracted with that. Like, why can't my body move? It used to move, but I couldn't move it like I used to. I couldn't get out. I was pinned. And what was that blood? That was my blood. Wow, how did this happen? What can I do to get out of this car? Anyway, we all need help sometime. Yes, I needed help in that accident. And the thing that I want to say is that when you are living, you can take the opportunity to know Jesus and to devote your life to him. But as you are on the edge of death, like I guess I was pretty close, I'm told, there's so many things that are going on right in front of you that you just keep thinking about what's going on. You don't think about, oh, what, that's wet. Is that my blood? Yeah, okay. Oh, I can't move. What am I going to do? So then you arrive at the hospital and things move really closely. That's my experience. You're taken right into surgery and made unconscious. So I just want to tell you that things can happen really fast and really quickly. Now, the point of my saying that is only to say maybe you won't be aware of what's going on because there's so many things taking your attention at the last minutes of life. So I want to encourage you now to give your life, to give your heart and your soul to Jesus Christ today while you are alive and in a way to do it. Do it like you mean it. Give your heart and your soul to Jesus Christ today. And then live like you mean it. Well, each one of us has these choices to make. And I hope that you choose Jesus while you can. If you haven't made that commitment to Jesus, do it today. Whisper it to him. Say, God, No, we all do it a little different. I remember saying to God, this was many years ago, saying, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, show me. That was, in fact, my first real prayer. And yeah, it took a while, but God did show me over time that he was real. And so I encourage everyone, don't wait until you're looking death in the face, but make a commitment now to give your life, your heart, and your soul to Jesus Christ. Do it today while you can. In an accident, things go so quickly, and you just don't know that you will have the awareness to actually do it. So that's what I want to encourage you to do and tell you a little bit about my experience. Just a little part. It wasn't especially fun to go through, but we learn and we learn. We learn and we find out truth. So that's why I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus now, today, while you can. It's better than to do it now than to wait until a time that you don't know is actually going to happen. And that makes me think of, it's Corinthians 5:11. It's something about knowing the terror of the Lord. I therefore fear God. Now that fear is because of his righteousness. Anyway, that's what I see. Now you may have some other interpretation and understanding of it. But the terror of the Lord is knowing that he is completely righteous, pure, clean, wonderful, fantastic. Oh, a miracle working God. But when you go right next to God, you can see that you have a lot of, dirty sin on you. And that's what I think that is meaning, that you know the terror of the Lord because you are dirty and he is clean. And you cannot imagine going to God with all this filthiness on you. So through Jesus Christ, we are cleaned up. And that's what we do when we say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help me. And you will do that in your own way, and I hope that you do. I hope that you do that today. Yes, right now, as you have a God-honoring love for the people around you. When you love your neighbor with that God-honoring love. When you have people that you know in church, that you have that God-honoring love inside of you that you share with them. The love of the Bible, the love of the brethren. God is a God of love. And when we find out how our love is not pure, but God's love is, that is also what I would call the terror of the Lord, because we recognize that we are not clean and God is so amazingly clean and pure. So that is what I think of when I read a passage like that. So yes, give your life to Jesus for the rest of your life and do it while you can. Yes, that means today. And let your life be forgiven and then live your life free from sin. all the sin pleasures in life are temporary, and they are not even clean. They are filthy. So when we have the clean goodness of God and His love, we want to be filled with that good love from God, from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. And so we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we want to obey God in every year, in every way, for the rest of our life. Every year for the rest of our life. That's what I was thinking. And do that into our eternal life. Now, it all starts someplace. It starts with giving our life to Jesus. And a part of our commitment is to speak it with our mouth and then live it with our life. Accept God's free gift of salvation. You can read about it. There's so many parts of the Bible that talk about it just a little bit. Some of it will touch your heart and your soul. And I don't know if it will be the book of John or Matthew or Galatians or Romans or Luke or the book of John. That's a big one. But there's a lot of people who say, start here and start there. You just have to figure that out. I don't have any advice. I know for me, I started in Genesis and read through to Revelation. And that was good for me. That was very good. So you will have to say a little prayer. God, help me to decide what to do as I read your holy book. So, like I said, I was very pleased to read the entire Bible. You say a little prayer and do what you understand is right. Well, we have just a minute left, and I want to say that there are listeners that that have a journey to go on, and I'm not sure what it is, but I know I pray for the people who listen to this broadcast and other broadcasts, and I hope you pray for me. I know I have benefited a great deal from the prayers that have gone on in my healing. I am so very thankful to have the prayers that have been going on for me and for my healing. I want to thank you, and I want to urge you to have that close relationship with Jesus Christ. So God bless you. May you walk with God. And may God walk with you. God bless you. Remember, I pray for so many people, and that includes the people who listen to this broadcast. Thank you very much. Oh, and you can listen to another broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. Look for John Stephenson, and you can touch on any past broadcast. And you can write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I certainly would be pleased to pray for any holy, godly requests that you have, and you can write me with them. That would be great. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.